All right, let's talk a little bit here and get set, and we get some word in us as we get ready for the power of God to continue to flow. Already it's flowing strong. I was having a little trouble talking earlier. I think I'm okay now. Several things. I just want to be sensitive here. Watch our time, our energy, because I don't want this. I want to keep the Spirit moving so we can minister to you. But one of the things I've learned as we move into this, and in 24 weeks, how's it sound to the people that know me? Not too good or okay? Yeah, it sounds dull to me. Let's give it more life, and brighten it up and turn it up. Put a little echo on it and we'll be set. Because I don't want to start on Friday night and not have my voice strong by Sunday night. Because I'll work hard at this. I've been trying to watch that. But as we're entering in now to 24 weeks, the parable of the sower, which is not the sermon or the subject tonight, but the parable of the sower has become so real to me because, you know, when the Spirit begins to move in our own church even, everybody grabs and likes to notice the movement of the Spirit. But in the parable of the sower, you know, there were the kind that heard the message of the kingdom and they didn't understand it. And the evil one came and snatched what was sown in their heart. And those were those that received that fell along the rocky places. But they didn't have any root. And they only last a short time. And I hope that we've gotten past the only lasts a short time. Hope we got past that short time. If you've made it this far, I hope you plan on making it the rest of the way. But I noticed within 3 or 4 or 5 weeks of that first outpouring, when we're in about our 6th week and 7th week and 8th week, some people that were really on fire the first 2, 3 weeks kind of just began to blend in again. You know, they begin to lose that zeal. I'm thankful. I don't know what this move would be if some of us other people had done that. It would have died away. And we give ourselves the privilege of blending back in and not paying a price and not fighting for what's right. And, you know, you can find yourself written in the Bible. All of a sudden, you're one of those. You lasted for a short time. What kind of a life is that? What kind of a reputation is that in heaven to where you say you want revival, but you don't have any power to last? We need people today that can go the long haul and last this thing out. If it lasts till Jesus comes or till the Antichrist is revealed or or the bride is taken up or whatever, you've got to set your sights. This is a world thing now. It's not a Smithton thing or a Florida thing. And we're just really beginning. We're barely even started. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other churches that haven't even started yet. We can't come to the point. Well, some of us are ready to only last a short time when the other churches and pastors are depending on us in our area to have a place to go to get an understanding of what is revival. What do people look like? What was your church like before? You know, we need one of those little skinny guys before and muscle guys afterwards. This is, Pastor, this is before, this is after. Now, which would you choose? Which would you choose? And we need to last a long time and set our sights. And others, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Or then there's those who receive the seed, but I've seen this happen. This is the two things I see. Some people have no root, and it's great. They get, you know, I don't understand this, Kathy, when people come and they seem to get such powerful touches of the Holy Spirit, but they don't last very long. I don't understand that. But that's always been the case, even back in the book of Acts, right? And then there's those that receive powerful touches from the Lord, but the second thing happens. They don't last either because the cares of the world start choking on what happened to them. And they start getting more worried about themselves. You'll notice that. I'll tell you, a person that always is worried about themselves will never be a revivalist. They may be able to get a touch at this altar, but they're going to not ever be what God called them to be because you cannot worry about yourself. And so There are those, the cares of this world. People who worry about themselves start caring about this world. Money creeps back in, and all of a sudden money. I'm so thankful you that have been touched by the power of God, you don't consider money like you used to. You don't consider free time like you used to. You know, you're not hindered by wanting to be entertained all the time, trying to find something to do with your time. Now you're just trying to find time, right? But you don't have to find something to do. Remember when you were a kid? You always were looking, I need something to do. I want something to do. I want something to do. God heard you. And now he's given something you to do, and some of you have no lasting power, and you're going right back to being bored again. Worrying about yourselves, the cares of this world, money, what about me, my poor hurt feelings, and my husband doesn't, my wife doesn't, the world doesn't, my job doesn't, nobody does it right for me. And you're getting choked. You might as well, you might as well just put your own hands to your own throat and just choke yourself right now in front of all of us, because that's what's happening in the spirit, right? Just go ahead and get it over with. Let's get a fast work here. We prayed last night for a fast release of the Spirit. Just go ahead and choke yourself and get it over with. Why are you going through this slow agony? The cares of this world are choking what God wants to do in your life. And we talk and live revival all the time, and we sacrifice whatever we have to do, and we plan to sacrifice whatever we have to be to keep this going, because this is the reason that I was brought into this world. And I know that. I know that, and some of you the same. For this hour, we've been brought into this world because this is the last hour. There is no other hour to be brought in for another hour, because there is no more hour. For such an hour as this, because this is the last hour. If you don't make this hour, there's not going to come another hour. There's no other hour. If you don't find your spot in this hour, you don't have a spot. Because this is the last hour. So chances are there is a spot for you in this hour, but you got to just find it, and you got to want it, and you got to desire it. Revival is desire. Desire. Desire, desire. It's not a mystical thing from heaven. It's a desire from earth that reaches and reaches and reaches and reaches and reaches. You'll oftentimes see in these services, and maybe, I wonder how people, visitors, think about that, but you'll oftentimes see people here, they just put their hands up, I don't know how this got started, and they just go like this, you know, like a child, like a baby, like a child. And nobody told them to do that. You're just reaching, you just want him, my father, my God. And you just reach, and arms begin to move. You can't figure out, why are my arms moving? It's a hunger from within. So we must not become a statistic. I don't want to be 3 out of 4. I don't want to be the 1 out of the 4. That's held out until we go into glory, until we leave this earth, that I was able to give my life to something that costs and something that's worthwhile. As we look at this move of God, a lot of people get concerned with what they see, and I know because I did. I wasn't that concerned, I'll be honest with you. But I had a few questions, and I think there are some things that are questionable sometimes. People are always questionable. You get anybody doing anything, there's going to be questionable people doing questionable things, because people are people. But we're going to live in the days of signs and wonders. And a lot of people don't mind signs and wonders as long as they don't have to become one. But a lot of times we're going to see in this age, people are going to become signs and wonders. And I've heard people say, well, you know, they needed that back then, because they needed to attract people to get the gospel going. Well, I want to tell you, we need to get the gospel going again. And God is going to do things that just to do them. Why? To get people's attention. I'll tell you something. Every spirit-filled, tongue-talking type, charismatic, Pentecostal, full gospel, whatever the label, any of those pastors right now, God has got their attention. They may be going one way, they may be going another way, but they know something's going on. He's got their attention. Now those in the traditional, what we used to call mainline, I think they're kind of like no line now, but I think they're off the line, they're offline. because many of them have no idea that God has ever moved or ever will move again. If you're in one of those groups or in one of those churches and you know that God is moving, how blessed and how fortunate you are. Because most have no idea. I know one of our couples was talking to me last night, and they were talking to a pastor, and they used a phrase that we use here all the time to another pastor of another church. And they used the phrase outpouring of the Spirit. And they said, this is a man in the ministry. Just looked at him and had no idea what they were talking about. Never heard, doesn't know anything about it. How could it be? You know, our churches are full of Nicodemus. The pulpits are full of Nicodemus, where Jesus would say to them, how can you be an educated man of God and have no idea what's going on? No idea. And I thank the Lord that I've gotten over my fears and I've passed over into a group that understands what God is doing and is willing to give my life to it. We need it so badly. And the signs and wonders are not the big deal. It's not the issue. It's just to get to people's attention. And people need to, their attention needs to be gotten by God, because the world has their attention. And suddenly God begins to do some different things, and people say, why? Why would God do these things? Why would anybody move like that or shake or tremble or do anything like that? I'll tell you why. It has gotten the attention of people. Isn't that simple? It's not really that deep. Our attention has been on the world and God. All of a sudden, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He's getting your attention everywhere, all over the world. I just, everybody, every single Spirit-filled, charismatic, Pentecostal, full gospel pastor that I know and have ever been around in the world, and I've been to a lot of countries, every single one of them is talking revival and asking questions and praying and trying to figure it out and wonder what's going on. Listen, that wasn't that way. We were in a comfort zone a few years ago and nobody was moving. I tell you, God is already shaking up the system, and we need it badly. And so this is just beginning. Oh, you just ought to get over all your fears and cross over on the other side and be on the side that believes and understands. You know, it's like you can be out, you can just spend the rest of your spiritual life with Nicodemus if you want to, or you can start hanging around with Peter and James and John. Now, what's it going to be? You know, you read the Bible and you see Peter, James, and John, and you read the gospel stories, and you read the book of Acts, and you always see yourself with those great men and women of God. But most people are not there. Most of them would be with Nicodemus. Most of them would be in the religious crowd. There's very few that can step into the class of those that were willing to give what those men and women of the early days were willing to give. And that's the call today. There may never be a book written about you in this life, because if this keeps moving at the speed, there's not going to be time to write a book about you. It's only going to be a heavenly record of those who are willing to bring in the last great outpouring of His Spirit before Jesus returns. God is not going to send His Son into the world for the last time to a beaten down group of people who could care less. I'm going to tell you, before Jesus comes, God's going to get the attention of the world and give everybody on the face of the earth a chance to choose. And even the power will be so strong that even some of the weakest people will be able to choose and step into it, because the power will be so strong, even the weakest will get a hold of the power of God, because He's going to give everybody a wonderful opportunity to receive and to step in. He's going to overcome in this great hour the powers of darkness to such a degree that even the weakest and most foolish among us can get this. Right? That's how easy for a season it's going to be. But the season will not last forever. It won't last forever. It's to produce a bride, a glorious people, that at one shining moment on the face of the earth, the people who call themselves by His name all really love Him at the same time. They're in love with Jesus. They've sacrificed, they've set aside everything of this world because He is the most important thing in their life. And it's not just here, it's not just there, it's going to be all over the world. A magnificent, powerful outpouring of God such as the world has never seen. And if you escape it, woe to you. Woe unto you. If it comes to you and you reject it, if the Messiah comes, if Jesus Christ comes, if the Holy Spirit visitation comes to you in this hour and you forsake it and you miss it, for what? So you can go watch videos and TV and go out to eat and play sports and goof off and do all the me stuff and feel sorry for yourself and hold on to that, all that junk inside, just because you want to hold on to all that junk inside of you. Woe unto you, for such an hour as this has come upon us. And it has come to our area. And we're going to go with it. We've had people tomorrow. I don't know who all's here tonight. I didn't check. I don't know what cities are here. But tomorrow I know there's people coming from out of state, driving many, many hours just to come here to get a touch from the Lord. What a high responsibility we have. They've come because we're hosting the work of the Holy Spirit here. And so we have a responsibility to give them the very best opportunity to get revival, to get a touch of revival, and take back revival. And so this is a wonderful hour we live in. I don't know where all you're from. I don't know if there's pastors here tonight all together, who's who and what's what. But we welcome all of you, and I pray that you can step into the glory of God with understanding and take it to your world, whatever that world is and whoever those people are. Because this is a wonderful thing that God is doing. And you may become a sign and wonder. Well, that's okay. If God wants, if you, how many times have you said, "Oh, Lord, just use me"? Oh, sure. You really meant it, didn't you? Now when the opportunity comes to be a powerful vessel of the Holy Spirit in these last days, now you're having second thoughts? Forget it. Huh? I have no second thoughts. My first thought was my last thought. It was settled. I'm fully persuaded. I've made up my mind. I'm going to go this hall. I'm going to do this. And we're going to touch lots and lots and lots of people. And we're going to affect lots of people. And the day, as these days progress, all these cities are going to know all around here. They're going to know something's going on here. Because God's stirring this thing up, I tell you. 3 weeks ago, it started stirring. Last week, it really stirred. And this week, it's stirring hard. And this is just Friday night. This is the only request I would have of all you guests and visitors here tonight, is that so far, most of our guests and visitors come whenever they can. Maybe they come on Friday night, and then we'll see them again in a couple of weeks. And that's wonderful. We take anything we can get, because we need everybody to bring this to the world, our world. But I really, really, really know in my heart, I know this absolutely, positively in my heart, if you're here tonight and you were planning on coming in a couple of weeks again just to see if it's still going on, if you would come Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, you'll get the spirit of revival. If you do everything the Spirit wants you to do, you come and get prayed for every time, you participate, you're sensitive to the Spirit, and that. When I went down to a place, and I visited one time, I kind of just came away sort of getting a concept of what was going on there. But when I went day after day after day, it got in me. It got in me. So I don't know if it does any good to say this, but I just encourage anybody that's really, really hungry for revival, if you can't do it this weekend, come on. Shut down your life for a while for the sake and get here every night, every service, and I'll guarantee you, you will get something. Because that's what happened to us. Some of us here, right here, have been doing this almost 24 weeks and not missed one service. Now, you want to talk about an experience. It's increasing and increasing and increasing. And you need to get started with it. Now, we mentioned this earlier, so I'll just pick this up where we were. Let me see here. Jesus went he was baptized, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in that respect. Then he went out to the wilderness to be tempted, and he defeated the temptations of the devil. Then he comes back into town. He goes into the synagogue. He opens up the scroll, and you know what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I just want to read that passage to you from Luke 4 again, and just have you see if you understand what's happening here. From Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now that's a wonderful passage of Scripture. I love this. One of my favorite. I love to preach on this and love to talk about this Jubilee passage is what we call it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Anointings were upon him. And look what it says is going to happen. Good, preach good news, proclaim freedom. The captives are going to be set free. The prisoners are going to go. Recovery, release to the oppressed. Isn't that all wonderful stuff? The amazing thing is, who is he speaking this to? In the mind and eyes of Jesus Christ, who were the captives? Absolutely, positively, he was not speaking, Kathy, to the Philistines. He was not speaking to the house of someplace else, the Amorites or the Canaanites. And that's what we like to do in our day. We like to take that scripture and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set the captives and the prisoners free. And then we begin to think about the pagans and the unsaved. That's out of context. He went, he said that in the synagogue.
Right.
To the chosen people of God.
Right.
And he told the chosen people of God, I'm here to set some prisoners free. And who do you think he thought the prisoners were? The people sitting in the synagogue.
Right.
Absolutely, positively, no doubt about it. That's what he was talking. That's where the captives were. That's where the victims were. The whole synagogue was full of victims. You know what they were victims of? A hypocritical religious system that was destroying the nation. Some of us don't see things from God's point of view anymore. Kathy, we look and we see drugs and we see pornography and we see abortions and we see all the things of the world. We love to preach a sermon that says how all those worldly things are destroying our nation. I don't think that's the opinion of God. God has never been that upset that the world acts like the world. Huh? God did not get upset that the Babylonians acted like Babylonians. God never was that upset that the Canaanites worshiped Baal. He just let them go. But he was very upset when his people began to worship the gods of the world. Because they were never intended to have that, and that's when they began to be captured by the things of this world. Suddenly, God's people were the prisoners. Can you believe that? Suddenly, God's people sitting in the synagogue, the chosen people of God, were captured. They were the prisoners. And Jesus Christ, when he said, I have come to preach good news to the poor, he didn't mean the poor financially, and he didn't mean the Philistines or the Amorites or the Canaanites. He meant the poor, broken down people. You know what? You know why there were poor, broken down people? You read the Deuteronomy and all the promises of God to all those people. But God said, if you don't follow my way, this nation will get cursed. And they didn't. They rejected God's way. And the people, you know what? The people who were called by his name, the people who had called on Yahweh, the people who called Jehovah God and said, there's one God, they have become prisoners. And they had become captives. And they had become oppressed. And Jesus Christ made it very clear. He says, I have not come to the rest of the world. I have been sent only to the lost house of Israel. The lost house of Israel. Israel was God's people. The chosen people of God. They are the only people on the face of the earth that had a covenant with God. And they became the lost people. The lost house. Who do you think Jesus was talking to? Jews who called God, God. They were the only people on the face of the earth that knew there was one God. They were the only people on the face of the earth that could say, love the Lord your God with all your heart. They're the only people that knew those kinds of things. They had become prisoners. They had become captives. They had become the oppressed people of the world. They had become the poor of the earth. And Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's not talking about those on the other side of the world. He looked at those people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I'm here to preach some good news to you, you prisoners that are here tonight, you prisoners, you taken captive, you that are oppressed here. I've got good news. This is the year of God's favor. This is the year of God's favor. And that's who he was talking to. And then he met up with problems. Same problems we're up against, right? He met up with some people. You know, he went to the feast, Kathy, the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the very last day, he spoke. And he said, if any man is thirsty, let him come and drink. Who did he say that to? To the Jews in the Feast of Tabernacles. The high feast. He said, if any of you are thirsty, come and drink. And he met up with problems because, you know, some of the people weren't thirsty. Some of the people didn't want what he had. The Bible says he said that, talking about the Spirit of the Lord. He wasn't even talking about salvation. Let me read it to you. This is over in John chapter 7. I love this passage. John 7, 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. I like that. Some people say, you know, you guys are so loud. Well, we've been hanging around with Jesus, you know. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And you know, that Spirit has already been set into the world, right? It's already here. Streams of living water. Hey, streams of living water is a long way from capture. Streams of living water is a long way from being a prisoner. Streams of living water is a long way from being oppressed. We need those streams again. He upset people. You know, he went to the religious people and he said lines like this, lines that you can quote, lines that you've heard all your life. He said, you'll know the truth. All right, finish it. Look at that. You know that. I've heard that on TV. I hear people who don't even know God can quote that scripture. They make fun of it maybe, but they know that scripture. And Jesus came, and who do you think he said that to? He didn't go out to the Canaanites. He didn't go out to the Amorites. He didn't go out to the Philistines. He said it to the religious people who had the covenants of God. And he said, you can know the truth and you can be free. And you know what they did? They were offended at that. They were offended because they weren't prepared to admit that they weren't free. And the Pharisees said, hey, what are you talking about? We are sons of Abraham. We are sons of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anybody. What a joke. Walk down the streets of Jerusalem, there's a Roman soldier in a big fuzzy hat. What do you mean you're not enslaved to anyone? What do you mean you've never been in slavery to anyone? Every time you get together and celebrate the power and covenants of God, you mentioned about the time that you were in bondage to Egypt. Now God brought you out of bondage. What do you mean? Bunch of liars. Deceived liars. We've never been in bondage to anyone. Don't you remember Daniel? Shackled Daniel and they marched him off into Babylon. What do you mean you've never been in bondage to anyone? But they were offended because they knew Jesus was talking to them. They weren't free. They were very religious people, but they weren't free people. But they could be free people. How do people who aren't free get free? By getting thirsty. I can't do a thing with anybody not thirsty tonight. I can't do anything. The religious people, they claim to be free. Now listen to this. This is what it was like to hang around religious people. If you could just transport yourself into the synagogue, right? First synagogue of Jerusalem, right? First church. Transport yourself there and show up. What's it like going to synagogue there? Well, you're going to be sitting next to people who love money, despise the truth, don't love God, reject the word, And these people had murder in their hearts. You'd be sitting next to people who don't love God, reject the truth, don't want to follow the Word of God, love money. Hey, you know, the more we talk about it, the more it sounds like we could call any church almost in America. You could be sitting in that church, and you'd be sitting in a church that loves money more than God. Right? They love money more than God. They love pleasure more than God. Just try to have a revival in some churches today. The number one issue is going to come up, when am I going to have my playtime? They don't want to give up their pleasures for the presence of God. And some of you sitting here, you're the same way. I felt it rush through. I love that when you say something and you just feel like, you know, you just feel that rumble coming back at you. You know, you might as well just raise your hand and say, I'm the jerk. Thou art the man. Because the Spirit of the Lord just nailed you on it, and I felt it come back to me, you know. I said it, and it bounced back and hit me in the face. People sitting here, you love money more than you love God. Why do you joke around? Huh? You love money more than you love God. You love pleasure more than you love God. You don't love the Word of God. You don't love the things of God. And yet, you don't want to hear you're not free? That's not freedom. External things controlling you is not freedom. Anytime you're controlled by anything external, whether it be money or sin or the world or entertainment or food or anything else, you're not free. And Jesus came to teach you what it means to be free. And they claim their eternal security. You ever heard that line? They claim their eternal security. They said, wait a minute, hold it. We are sons of Abraham. We are sons of Abraham. And you know how Jesus answered them? He said, hold it a minute. I'll paraphrase it, but he said, hold it a minute. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Now, when Abraham looked forward through the Spirit and saw Jesus and the day that Jesus was going to begin to set captives free, Abraham rejoiced. Hey, if you're a son of Abraham, how come you're not rejoicing? How come you're not happy with what you see Jesus doing? How come you don't like what Jesus is doing, yet you claim to be a son of Abraham, huh? You claim your eternal security in the son of Abraham, and you're nothing like Abraham. You're nothing like Abraham. You've deceived yourselves. And they built their eternal security on the fact that they were a son of Abraham, and the fact that they were a son of Abraham, that they were safe. Well, if you're a son of Abraham, where's your passion of Abraham? Where's the faith of Abraham? It's a joke. You're nothing like Abraham. The religious people, here's what they were. They were lost. They were sick. They were blind. And they were infected. And they were contagious. Did you know the religious people were contagious? That's why Jesus said, be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees. Why? Because it's contagious. It spreads. It spreads. It's contagious. Lukewarm Christianity is contagious. Half-hearted religion is contagious. It's so contagious, it is spread like an infectious disease to almost every church in America, to where anybody that gets the fire of God is now considered a weirdo. Poor Jeremiah would have never lasted. Isaiah would have never lasted. Paul would have never lasted. Peter would have never lasted. James would have never lasted. Jesus would have never lasted in the pulpits of America. Too much fire, too much radical, right? Too much weirdo. You're considered strange and odd if you're not lukewarm, you know. If you actually want to come to church more than once a week, you're strange, you're odd, there's something wrong with you. I'll tell you, I don't think Jesus, you know, is wanting to come just once a week. You know, I think if we'd come every day, Jesus would show up every day. On time. He'd be here on time. But the religious people of Jesus' day, they were lost. They were blind. They were sick. Listen, and they were infected, but that's not the problem. That's not the problem, folks. You're sitting here tonight. There's some of you tonight. You're lost. You're sick. You're infected. You're contagious. You're poisonous. You got poison in your body. Spiritual darkness Spiritual infections have got into you. They've infected your heart. Your heart is sick. It's not right. It's off. It's tormented. It's twisted. It's hurting. It's despairing. It's oppressed. You think you got problems? That's not even the problem. I've had people come and say, oh, I've got such problems. That's not the problem. You see, the problem in Jesus' day was they were lost, and they were sick, and they were blind, and they were infected, and they were fighting to stay that way. They were willing to kill somebody to stay sick, to stay infected, to stay loving their money, to stay hypocrites. They were willing to put nails in a man's body who was, even the world knew he was innocent. Pilate said, this man has done nothing. You bunch of jealous people, you're just jealous because he's changing the lives of people. Hypocrisy will put nails in the flesh of a man in order to stay a hypocrite. That's what's wrong. There's nothing wrong with you if you've got problems tonight. Nothing's going to shake us up, no matter how deep you've fallen. Nothing's going to shake God up, no matter how many problems. If you're sick, if you're infectious, if you got poison all through your heart and all through your mind, that's not going to bother Jesus. That's not going to bother me. The true sickness is not the symptoms. The true sickness is the spiritual condition of the church today, and millions of people are fighting to stay that way. They're going to fight the move of God to stay lukewarm, to stay hypocrites. Knowing full well, I go to a lot of pastors' conventions. You ought to hear them talk about their churches. You ought to hear them talk about their people. You ought to hear what they have to say about their churches and about their people and about the commitment. Talk to him up there for me, will you? And all the things going on. They don't say good things about their church. They say, my people won't show up for prayer. They don't want to give in the offering. They don't want to come more than for an hour a week. They complain about their people. They complain about what's going on in their church. But then what do? And then they defend it. When God tries to move, they hold on to that hypocrisy. Why would you want to do that? The church is infected, and it's contagious. It's so sad, because if you just go to the world and ask their opinion of the church, it's rotten. And we're going to defend that. The church, you know what everybody in the world says? The world says our churches are full of hypocrites. And they're right. Wouldn't hurt to listen to them. And we're going to defend that. We're going to fight for that. We're going to get into big theological discussion over that. Huh? It's not worth it, because it's absolutely true. Now in these last days, now we're up to your life. We're living in a Holy Spirit visitation. This is the hour of visitation all over the world. This is our hour. This is our lives. The Holy Spirit, just like he talked about, the rivers of living water are flowing again in your lifetime. And it's coming upon us. Why? Why? Why is this happening? Why is this happening all over the world? I'll tell you. Because Jesus Christ is still saying tonight, the Spirit of the Lord is still upon me and will be upon others. For what purpose? To set the captives free. Where? Right, absolutely, positively, where Jesus preaches. He comes right to the church to set the captives free. To take those who are oppressed and give them some freedom. For the true people of God should never been in bondage. We should have never been in bondage. We've been called. We call ourselves children of God. Right? We call ourselves children of God. We belong to Jesus. I have Jesus in my heart. Well, if we've got so much of Jesus and we're the sons of God, why don't we have the passion of Jesus? Where's the love that Jesus had for his Father? Jesus said, where did you expect me to be? I must go about my Father's business. Nowadays, nobody's got time for any of his business. They're so busy with their own business. We belong to Jesus as much as we say, where is the passion for the kingdom of God? Where is the passion for the Holy Spirit? Where is the passion to go and set the captives free? Lift this oppression off the people of God and preach the year of God's favor. We're fooling ourselves the same way they fooled themselves. Today is a call. There's a call to the thirsty. Not everybody's thirsty, but there are millions that are thirsty. And the thirst is growing worldwide. That's what I am so excited about, because for so many years I've been talking about revival like an outcast. You know, if this keeps up, I'm going to be in the inner circle. If this keeps up, I'm going to actually be popular. I'm not kidding you. I've been talking revival before it was fashionable. I've always talked it. Willing to give my life to it, I just never knew if I'd get it. And now that it's beginning here, it's going to grow, you know, and thirsty people are going to start loving this. Thirsty people are going to begin. This is going to grow here. Not because of us, but because of the thirst of people. People telling people. It's a call to the thirsty. Come and drink. There's living water. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what living water would do? It's not just water. It's not the water. It's the living. It's the life. You're going to take something living inside of you. And when you get something living inside of you, all those other dead things come in contact with it, and something's going to have to go. Something's going to have to go. And all that poison, you know, 1 second of living water can drive out a lifetime of poison. I mean, it can cleanse those veins and cleanse that heart and cleanse that mind. A second, I have seen people at this altar bound. They come up to me and say, this has been in my life my entire life. And in a matter of seconds, the wind blows over, the living water comes in, and all of a sudden, they're free. That's pretty good news. But you can't do it to people who aren't thirsty. I'm thirsty tonight. I'm thirsty to drink of water, living water. It's also not just a call to just the thirsty. There's a wonderful call to the religious. What kind of religious people? Religious people, listen to me, who are tired of defending a system that doesn't work. If it works, then why? Why are the churches filled with oppressed, depressed, demonized, divorced, hurting, divided, backstabbing, lonely people? Not just one church, not just that church, not just this church, all churches. And it was in our church. It was in our congregation. Religious people. But you know what? The difference was we were not going to defend our position. We were going to change our position. If you're here tonight to defend your church, it better be a good one. If you're willing to miss the touch of God to defend your church.
This is the end of side one. Please turn the tape over for side two.
I hope it's on fire. I hope it's working. I hope everybody's free, happy, doing well. But boy, if it is, I haven't heard about it. If your church is that great, I don't know why I haven't heard about it. Well, our church wasn't that great either. And when we were given the opportunity to let living water flow in this place, we chose, rather than to defend what we've been doing for 13 years, we said it's time to let living waters. And we'll do whatever you want us to do, God. We'll change. We'll have church as many times you want us to have church. We'll come. We'll pray. We'll plead. We'll let the Holy Spirit float through us. We'll bring revival to our area. We're not going to defend. We're not going to justify. We're not going to say, well, we weren't that bad. Or as I hope the person you guys talk to isn't here tonight because it's going to be awful. But that person you talk to is not here, are they? They were talking to a person, and they said this to him. They said, this pastor said, this is a great line. He said, we don't need revival. We started out good. Right? We don't need revival because we started out good. Well, we started out pretty good too, and it stunk. Because it was man, it wasn't God. We became thirsty, that's all. Thirsty people crying out to the Lord. Today, Jesus is coming to free the religious church. A church, listen to me. Let's be honest. Jesus, it's no big deal. It's just Jesus is coming again, like he did in the synagogue in his day. Jesus is coming to church after church after church after church to do what? Just to set the prisoners free like he was running his own synagogue. That's all. He wanted to do it in his own synagogue. He'll do it in our synagogue. He'll do it in our church. He just wants to set the prisoners, the captives free. He wants to see those who are in slavery to sin, and slavery to hurts, and slavery to oppression. It's the same Jesus with the same spirit, with the same heart of compassion. Just wants to see you set free. But no one who wants to defend themselves and says, well, I'm not in bondage, is going to be set free. You have to be able to admit, not to me, but you just have to admit to yourself, I'm not free. I got a lot of things in my life that I can't put Jesus' name on. They don't belong there. And I'm thirsty to become new. I'm thirsty to get that junk out of my life that torments me at night. That stuff that drives me at work, that drives me at play, that stuff inside of me that I can't even explain. Don't you just hate that? We Americans, we hate that. I hate it when I can't label it. You know? I got to the point in my life where I ran out of people to blame. I'm not kidding you. I found things inside of me I couldn't find anybody to blame. You know? I couldn't blame my mother, my father. I almost could blame Kathy, but not quite. It's a close call. I'm just kidding with you. I know, I'm telling you the truth. I came to the point, I couldn't blame her. I couldn't blame anybody in my church. I couldn't blame my mom, my dad, my childhood, my upbringing, my kindergarten teacher. I ran out of people to blame. And I said, I don't know. I'm not free. And I don't know what to call it. It's whatchamacallit in me. Don't you just hate that? Don't even know what it is. But you know something's there lurking, right? Something's there that doesn't belong there. And if I could name it, I'd feel a lot better, you know. One time I almost, you know, I was really moving in the spirit, Eric, and I thought, I'm just going to get a hold of this and make it name itself. Name yourself! But then I backed down. I was afraid, what if it says Legion? So, that's too scary for me. I'm not going to do that. That's too much. I'm not ready for that. I'm not that spiritual. Sorry, I'm just ignoring it. I'll just be whatchamacallit. I don't care. Just, you know, just generic. Generic demon. That's what you are. No name brand. It's no name. No name demon. That's all. But I got to the point where I couldn't defend myself anymore before God. I had no defense. I'd run out of people to blame. I'd run out of situations to defend, to justify. There were things that didn't belong there, and I ran out of explanations. I don't know why. I don't know where. I don't know how. I just know that I'm not all that God wants me to be. And I stopped defending myself, and I became thirsty. I had a discussion with Kathy last night. We were talking, and I'm going to end now because it's time to pray for you. I want to get to praying for you, but I had a discussion. And this was no light thing in my life. You know, I spent days and hours before God in tears, broken, discouraged. I went over every mistake, every sin, everything of the past, everything I could think of. And I didn't go over it one time. I went over it and over it and over it before the Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me to understand. Here I've been in the ministry 20 years and I'm crying out for God to save me. Isn't that interesting? Crying out for salvation after 20 years. You know? I've been spirit-filled. I got saved and spirit-filled at the same time. I've been speaking in tongues for 20 years. And yet I'm crying out to God to come and loose me from the prisoner that's locked up inside of me. I don't want that prisoner anymore. I want a free man inside there. I want freedom. And this pastor that you see, sometimes I've been getting more free in the last few weeks up here. And I try, particularly tonight, it was so strong tonight, I sort of became, that's why I talked about becoming otherworldly, because I really kind of left. And if you understand what I mean, I was just not noticing anybody else here for just a little while tonight. But then I come back to my normal senses, I guess, and I'd start wondering for the first time, I wonder how I look. And I thought, I wonder how I look to other pastors. I don't know, do I look like a raving maniac or what? I don't know how I look. I don't know how I look to other people. But I know one thing, I've never been free like I've been free tonight to express the love of Jesus Christ. I've never been free before in my whole life. I've never been free. Never. I never was free till these days. And I'll tell you, this kind of freedom is a lot better than having a clamp. You know how that is? You start trying to move by the Spirit of God and something clutches you on the inside and you become immovable. So give me a break. Give me lots of grace. I never had ever in my entire life the ability to just walk up here and turn circles if I wanted to. Never. I've never done that in my whole life. You know, and I'm not trying to show off or anything. It's just I've never got to do that before. And you're talking about a guy. Listen, you're talking about a guy that was in the world and has done everything that was in the world. I mean, I've done, you know, I've drank gallons. I used to have a reputation, you know. Maybe that's why I just want to be a heavy drinker here tonight for God, because I used to be a heavy drinker for the world, you know. And I did. I'm not telling you. I mean, people that still know me in this area, I used to do it in this area. Still remember all those years ago when I used to play in bands and have such a terrible reputation for such a drinker. I don't know if my sister remembers that or not, but I mean, I was the type, you know, when I started, I just went all night long. And she remembers that my dead sister, right? The one that used to look like you. And and drugs and all kinds of stuff. And I, after all the things and drugs and alcohol and all the stuff I did, I'll tell you, when I was doing that stuff and I was in front of people, I never twirled once. Because I wasn't getting more free. I was taking more in, but I wasn't getting more free. It was taking the life out of me. Slowly, I was crumbling. I was crumbling. My life was crumbling. So give me a break, huh? This is the first time in my whole life, you know, the first time in my whole life that I've been able to move, you know, that I've been able to flow with the things of God, that I've been able to feel, actually know and feel His presence for the first time in my life. I've been a Christian a long time, but I've never felt the glory of God with such weight that I felt here tonight and through these services. And it just comes and I begin to feel that I'm not of this world, which the Bible says I'm not. But I begin to experience a little of that. And so, you know, maybe I'll twirl around in my hand. I notice my arms just go a lot up here, you know. I've never got to do that before. Maybe in time I'll settle down, but for a while, just give me a break. I've never got to live like this before. And I need a place that I can express what the Lord has done for me. And so now that it's happened in my life and it's still happening. It hadn't happened, it's still happening. I see God doing it to so many lives. He just wants to give you this. He wants to revive you lost, sick, infected people. Infected with junk and things of the world and things of your past. And you can justify it. You can blame your kindergarten teacher if you want to. But it's time to just get free and realize your bondage and say like we did tonight, say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to ride with you. I'm ready to drink. Jesus, it was so simple, folks. There's no big doctrinal statement has to be made. We don't have to call a theological convention of scholars to figure out this one line. He said, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Simple, easy, to the point. You don't have to figure it all out. It's just everybody here tonight, if you're thirsty, there's water flowing up here. I can tell you for truth, there's water. There is a stream. There's a stream of living water that's flowing up here tonight. That's been flowing in this place now for 20-some weeks. If you're thirsty, we don't have to discuss it, do we? We don't have to call a scholarly convention or a bunch of philosophers to try to figure out what's going to happen next. It's easy. Thirsty people are going to take a drink of living water. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Drink of living water. Simple, easy, to the point, and it works. It's happened to me, and God wants to do it for you. Here tonight in his house. And I'll tell you, I'll say it again, and I'm finished. Then it's time to pray. I will never be the same again. Never. I did not know this existed. Isn't that odd? I did not know this existed. I'd read about it, the glory. I'd read about how people went to church all the time and great outpourings and all the stuff that happened. And I really was hungry. And I really was thirsty, but I did not know that what has happened to me even existed. And it may look strange to you sometimes, and I may be a sign and a wonder someday. I don't know, but I'm telling you, there is a river and a power flowing through the earth today that makes it even for you, the worst of the worst, the sick of the sickest, the hurting of the hurtest, right? Even you can make it now. Because there's a river flowing. Streams of God in this place. And it is very powerful. It's stronger than you are. And that's just what you needed. Something stronger and bigger than you. If you're thirsty tonight, we're going to invite you to come and drink of this water. And I'll tell you, I may be up here ministering, but I'm going to be taking a few sips in between, all right? Eric's going to pray with us and just make sure everybody here, let's stand up. We want to make sure that everybody takes a moment now to get serious with God and let's give our lives over to Jesus. If you've done it 100 times before, let's clean the slate. Let's give our lives to Jesus. Let's get converted tonight. We don't want any condemnation when you come up here tonight. If you've got any sins that need to be forgiven, Eric's going to pray forgiveness for you tonight because I don't want you up here being accused by the devil when you're supposed to be taking a drink from God. So let's clear up everything that needs to be cleared up. If you're just a hard-hearted rat, then just pray tonight, Lord, make me a sheep of your pasture.
Yeah.
Make me a sheep. If you're just an old goat, come on, get converted and push that all aside and take a drink and see that the Lord, he is good. So, Eric, if you'll pray with us, and it's just about time that the flood is going to flow.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Yes. Father, we want power. Yes, we want your presence, Lord, to come now and encompass us like never before, Lord, just like the sermon tonight. Lord, I want more of you.
Yes,
I want more of you, Lord. We want more of you. We want more of you, Lord. Come now with your presence and your power and do take away the condemnation, Lord, and the judgment upon ourselves and all those bad feelings in the past and the fears, Lord, and take them now in Jesus' name.
Yes,
go,
Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Go.
And receive, receive, receive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, repeat after me, dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Forgive me of all my sin.
Forgive me of all my sin.
Erase it.
Erase it.
With your blood.
Your blood.
And with your power.
And with your power.
Come and save me.
Come and save me.
I give you my heart tonight.
I give you my heart tonight.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
And my mind.
And my mind.
And my spirit.
And my spirit.
And my emotions.
And my emotions.
Come and change me tonight, Jesus.
Come and change me tonight, Jesus.
Yes, power. Say power.
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 Come now.
Come now.
And change me.
And change me.
I will never.
I will never
be the same.
Be the same.
Again.
Again.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Ooh, ooh. I don't have my pick. Yeah. I don't have my pick.
I will never be the same. Fire, God.
I'm telling our people to wait. You guys can quit. Go to the thirsty first. If they're not thirsty, move on to somebody else. We'll come back to them. Because God preached to the thirsty tonight, not to the half-hearted. If they're not sure, go to somebody else and we'll come back to them. Here. Just go find the thirsty. Make sure there's an usher with you. We'll get back to the other people in a minute. Yeah. We mistake thirsty people, Michael. There's a lot of people over here. Are there thirsty people over here? Back here, some thirsty people? Okay, we'll come down there. Who wants to go with me? Oh, wait. I like this, Kathy. This is good. Oh, I like this. I'll take some of it myself. Oh. Yeah, D. Hey. I know this work. with you, Lord. It's strong here. It's a little different, but it's strong. Go. Yeah, we're sweating for it.